We'll open with prayer. Gracious Lord, what a privilege to gather together with brothers and sisters in the faith and to spend time in your word together. You gave it for a reason, for many reasons, Lord, and we ask that you send your Holy Spirit as we discuss your word in Genesis today. Help us appreciate what a great God you are and how you have everything all figured out, all planned out, and that you work all things for our good. You are a great and awesome God, faithful to the end, and we give you all thanks and praise. Amen. Genesis 15. We pick things back up with Abram. Quick review of what it's been, 3 weeks, a month since we got together? What were the last things we were looking at? Do you remember? We talked about how Abram and Lot could not be together anymore because their herds were so extensive. The shepherds were fighting. They just didn't have enough graze for all their animals. So Abram said, Lot, you choose. You go one way, I'll go the other. Lot chose
the wrong way.
The wrong way. The fertile area down by Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram said, fine, I'll go into the more rugged mountains, and that'll be better for both of us. All right? A very unfortunate thing happened to Lot while he was down in the fertile area. Remember what it was? Boy, it's been a month's a long time, huh? Cindy, come on, Cindy, no excuse. Yeah, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah said, you know, we're tired of paying this payment all the time to the conquering kings. We're going to stop doing that. The conquering kings took exception to that, brought an army in, sweep through, and basically conquered all the cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah. Had a huge group of people and animals and whatever else they were leading back to their homeland. And Abram and his allies and a few hundred men, when they found out about it, Abram gathered them together and went after the conquering armies of multiple kings. split up his men into different groups. They attacked that night. They chased the conquering army way up to the northeast. And basically, Abram rescued all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Astounding, amazing act of bravery. Just a few hundred men, but it didn't seem he even hesitated. He just went after them. And then we met a very interesting individual who I'm sure you'll remember the name of was
Melchizedek.
Who Gary expounded on of who he was and how he all figured everything. We came to the conclusion what a fascinating individual, and we wish we knew more about him. We just don't. He's one of the mysteries of the Bible. But we did say the Bible makes it clear he was. Do you remember the word that we used?
Type.
He was a type of Christ. Mm-hmm. So an Old Testament example that the Bible says illustrates Jesus. Okay, that kind of brings us up to date, I think, of where we were. So we're in Genesis 15. Please follow along in your Bible, on your phones, wherever you have your Bible. My translation might be a little different than yours, not drastically, but Genesis 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky, count the stars. if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down in the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Good names for grandkids in there. Yeah. Good name for grandkids in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, after Abram's amazing example of bravery, what interesting comment did God say to him? Genesis 15, 1.
I am your shield.
Yep, but before that.
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. He had just demonstrated astounding bravery, and God says, don't be afraid, Abram. Now, one quick comment. We tend to read this like the Bible, like a novel, where we expect like things just follow in sequential order and very quickly in order. There could have been a number of years even before. You know, after this is very general, right? We don't know exactly when after this was. Was it the next day, you know, next week, or was it years later? So we're not sure on that. Exactly when, how long the distance was between when Abraham had delivered, you know, had delivered the entrapped people. But still, it's interesting. God comes to him and says, do not be afraid. The Lord knows the secrets of our hearts. Why did he say this to Abram? Any thoughts? Again, Abram had demonstrated great bravery, courage. Why did God say, do not be afraid?
Afraid he wasn't going to have a descendant.
That's the issue. His fear had nothing to do with taking on armed conquerors. His fear had to do with the fact that he was childless. And God had made wonderful promises to him about filling up this land he was in, and Abram couldn't see how it could happen since he had no children. Does Abram's response reveal anything else about his thoughts? So that's verses 2 and 3.
He was afraid he was going to have to give it to one of his servants.
Yeah, that's the third thing if you're writing, taking down notes. My head servant stands to inherit my estate. That was the custom of the day. That you transferred your things to your head servant because he knew how to do things. He'd been trained, and you could expect that he'd take good care of things or whatever it may be. So Eliezer, he thought Eliezer was going to be the one who ended up getting his estate because, number two, you haven't given me any children, Lord. And number one, It's a little longer. You don't have to write this all down. But Abram's saying, Lord, you've given me many, many, many things, and I'm so thankful for it. But the most important thing is lacking, yet I still don't have a child.
Could I trouble you for part two?
Yep. Part one is you haven't given me the most important thing. Part two is you've given me no. Oh,
the actual sheet.
Oh,
we had one.
Oh, did you grab one of the old ones? Oh,
I was really having trouble finding it.
I can understand why. You want that leather one or?
Yeah.
I just set it here to
look through there.
All right, very good, very good.
Oh, this makes more sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I apologize. I just saw you grabbed one, and I thought you were good. All right. We're good now, right?
Yep.
All right. Of what two things did God remind Abram even before Abram spoke? Verse 1. Somebody mentioned it earlier. What does God say to Abram?
He's a shield.
I am your shield. And number two?
I am great reward.
I am your very great reward. Abram, you don't need anything besides me. You have it. When you have me, you have everything. So again, the Lord knew Abram's heart. He knew his concerns. He knew his thoughts. He knew what he was troubled about, why he was struggling with things, and the Lord comes to him and says, don't be afraid. You already have me, Abram. Your shield, your very great reward. We'll work everything out. Don't worry. The Lord addresses Abram's greatest fear. Previously, God had alluded to Abram's many descendants. Now, for the first time, he promises Abram something very specific. What was it? Verse 4.
He would have a son that was his heir.
Yes, from his own body. Right. It's not going to be a servant. It's not going to be an adopted son. It's going to be a son from his own body. Now, we'll get into this later, but one of the remarkable things about this is that Abram was already quite old.
His wife was too.
Yep, we're going to get into that. Yeah. Trace God's promises about Abram's numerous ancestors. Do you notice anything in the successive words? So I listed them there for you. Verse 2, what does God promise about his descendants?
I'll make you a great nation.
I'll make you a great nation. Okay. Verse 7. Very good. I will give this land you're now living in to your offspring, your descendants. Verses 15 and 16.
Like the dust of the earth.
That's the additional information there, yeah. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. That's how many there will be. And 15, verses 4 and 5.
That's when they're like the stars in the sky.
I'm sorry?
It'd be like the stars in the sky. His offspring would be like the stars in the sky.
Yep, but there's also another, yep, good, but there's another thing in there, verses 4 and 5. I will give you a son. So as you look at those promises, I will make you into a great nation, I'll give this land to your offspring, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, verse 5, or 4 and 5, I will give you a son. Is there anything that you notice about those different promises? That's a really general, that's not a very good question to ask because where in the world am I coming from? But do you notice anything about that? Let me give you some help. There's a succession here in each of the different things that God says. God's promises go from very general to very specific. Exactly. Yeah, each promise gets a little more specific. Any thoughts on why God might go from general to more specific in his words to Abram?
Maybe because it's getting closer to actually happening.
I think that's valid. It's getting closer to actually happening. Yes, I think that's true for sure. Let me give you maybe an example from real life. Maybe your folks did this. Maybe your parents did this. Kids are kind of bumming in the middle of the wintertime. We're going to go on a vacation.
You are.
I'm going to go on multiple vacations. I want to be gone every other Sunday, Tom.
You don't have much vacation.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Nor would I want to be gone that much. Don't mess me up, Tom. You say to your kids, they're bumming. We're gonna get away. We're gonna go away. And then down the road, we're gonna go somewhere warmer. And then we're gonna go in a couple weeks. And then we're gonna go to Disneyland or Disney World or whatever. Save the best for last. Yeah. And every promise just gives extra hope, right? Yeah. And so that seems to be what God was doing here to Abram, was just continuing to encourage him, encourage his hope, his faith, that Abram, I got it all figured out. See, this is going to happen. And then in addition, this is going to be part of it. And furthermore, this is going to be an aspect of it. And that's what was going on here with when God was talking to Abram about how he was going to fill the land with his offspring.
You don't want to play with that.
Is anybody at the Romans 4 passage?
Yeah.
You were, but... Oh. All right, Carla, could you read... Okay, hold on, Carla. Start with verse 18, please.
18.
Yes.
Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God.
Thank you, Carla. Very good. And some of the last words that she read there, what did it say about Abram's faith? It said that he never wavered, but at the end it says... He was strengthened. Yeah, exactly. He was strengthened in his faith through the promises God gave him.
What's that?
I said he sounded the
same
sound.
Oh, good.
No, it's just a cover.
There's a lot more stuff to play with.
There's some Though God's promises have gotten more and more specific, what two crucial matters has the Lord not revealed to Abram yet?
When
is a big one. When the boy would be born. There's another significant one. It maybe doesn't occur to us, but it was significant in his time. Go ahead, Karen. That's true. It's not told where, but Abram probably didn't care much about where. There's another significant element that was not specifically mentioned. And again, you're looking at this saying, well, obviously God is talking about Sarah. And he was. You would hope that, you know, your husband aren't thinking about who else is going to, you know, have my child, right? If you're a wife. But in Abram's day, it was very common, if the wife could not have children, to have substitutes step in, because the heirs were so important and everything was passed down to them. And next chapter, we're gonna run into this very thing. In fact, do you remember why Abram ended up going to one of the slave girls?
Well, it was Sarah.
Sarah suggested it. Bad decision on her part.
Yeah.
Bad decision on Abram's part. We'll talk about that down the road. Okay? But it was very common custom in those days. Not only was it a common custom, even if your wife couldn't have children, but even if she did, it was often common that you had other children with other individuals when you were very wealthy. It's just the way they did, the culture did things. Okay, so the two things God did not reveal to Abraham was who would be the mother and when the boy would be born. So there's a couple significant things that are not mentioned here yet. However, God uses a very vivid illustration about the number of Abram's descendants. What was it? Arlene mentioned it before. Your offspring will be numerous as the stars. Yeah. Now, before God had said they'll be like the dust of the earth. Now he says they'll be like the stars. I know living out in this area, there's nothing like a night sky away from the city lights. When you look up and you see the Milky Way and you're just in awe of all the stars up there. And you recognize there's so many stars that you can't even see. And you also recognize, if you think about it, that some of the stars you see is a whole galaxy full of stars. You realize that, right? Mm-hmm. Something that looks like a single star, that's a galaxy filled with millions of stars. Wow. Now, Abram clearly didn't understand all of that. But as he looked up at the night sky, he said, this is astounding that God would give that many descendants to me.
Well, it is kind of astounding, the fact that he only gives him one son, or two actually, but how do you make all that?
Right. Right. And here, see, this is the thing thank you, Karen, that's a really good thought, because even when Abram finally did have children, he only had a couple sons, right?
Yeah, to start, yeah.
But here's the thing about God. We tend to look at the future as being next week.
Yeah. Or a year.
Or maybe a month.
Yeah.
Maybe we think we look out a year. You know, next year we'll do whatever. God, when he looks out, he's seen hundreds and thousands of years. And it's all as one to him.
A lot longer back then, too.
I'm sorry.
They all lived a lot longer.
That's true.
I mean,
yep.
How old he was, you're talking about him being 100.
Yep.
I mean, at 100 now, most people are dead.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Assisted living, nursing home.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. But even with a long age of humans, even if it's hundreds of years, God's still looking way further than that.
That long arm again.
Yeah, I'm so thankful some people listen to my sermons. but it's important that we take that to heart too. That God has the long view in mind, and That's very comforting, because as we look at what is going on sometimes in our lives right now and how we expect it's going to be in a week or a month, we say, man, I'm kind of in a real mess. And God has a long view, saying, you're going to be fine. I'll work this all out. It may not be the way you want it to be worked out, and it certainly probably won't be in the time frame you want it worked out in, but I will work it out. And your great, 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 great grandchildren, and we can't even comprehend that concept, are going to be mine too, or whatever it may be, you know? So it's very, very comforting to know that we have a God who sees a long picture, much, much longer than we do. And his promises, I mean, you think about, do you remember, how long was it from Adam and Eve when God gave the promise after they disobeyed him until baby Jesus was born? How long was that? I don't expect you to give me that, you know, exact, but it was thousands of years. Thousands of years. The believers were waiting for the Jesus to be born. Mm-hmm. And in God's mind, it was no problem. He already saw it as completed. 500 years before Jesus came, God was talking in the completed form, Isaiah 53, about how Jesus would be killed for the people. And he used the past tense in that when he's speaking about something that would happen 500 years in the future. But in God's mind, it was done already. And so again, that how comforting that is. Because we're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at later today. We're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at next week. We can't think a whole lot longer than that, because we're trying to deal with everything we're dealing with right now. And God's got it all figured out. He already sees the problems we're going to be dealing with in 3 years. And he's got those problems figured out too. I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but hopefully I said something that's beneficial. Yeah. It feels good to me. I find it beneficial. I don't know. All right.